You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Talking St. Louis Cardinals baseball here from the winter meetings. Tim McMaster along with our MLB.com Cardinals reporter Jennifer Langosch. And Jennifer, the Cardinals are obviously one of those teams that I think all baseball organizations kind of look to as one of those great franchises. How do they generally, John Mozeliak and company, approach the winter meetings?
Yeah, I mean, they like to get their work done quickly. So I think what we've seen in recent years under Mo is that typically by the Christmas holiday, this team is done with its shopping. So that lends itself to a lot of activity in the winter meetings. Now, they're usually not the team making the biggest splashes or holding the biggest press conferences. Last year, you know, they came here looking, or they came to the winter meetings looking to re-sign Jason Hayward. Obviously, that fell through. They did kind of do some other things. But I would expect this team, it's been looking for an outfielder since the season ended 2 months ago. They are still in that outfield market, and I think that's going to pick up some traction here.
There's obviously different options out there, but one that you keep hearing about is Dexter Fowler. You mentioned Jason Hayward. He went from the Cardinals to the Cubs, and then John Lackey went from the Cardinals to the Cubs. Beyond a need for an outfielder and the fact that he's maybe the best one available, it would be bringing a Cub to the Cardinals. Does that make it extra sweet?
Maybe for the fans. I mean, it was a sour offseason last year. I mean, you know, a lot of people wanting, obviously the Cardinals included, wanting Jason Hayward to come back. But then the fact that he went to Chicago is kind of an extra little drill in the ribs of sorts. But, yeah, I mean, you look at the free agent market, the Cardinals are looking for a center fielder. They are looking for somebody defensively sound in center field. Your options are basically Dexter Fowler. So I know the Cardinals are interested. I know other teams are as well, which is also why the Cardinals have their fingers in the trade market. Perhaps they're able to find a better fit there. I think the concern with Dexter Fowler is how many years does he want in a contract and how much money annually is that going to require. Now, the good thing for the Cardinals, and we saw it last year, the money they dangled at Jason Hayward, the money they dangled at David Price, neither of whom accepted those offers, they've got that money still. So this is a team that, if they want to, can make a big splash.
Yeah, when they didn't get those guys, they didn't go out and just spend the money. They needed to be smart. They stayed smart. When you talk about Fowler, the question is, you look two years back, and he wasn't what he is now. Is that part of the discussion? How much was last year an outlier, or is that the Dexter Fowler we would have for 4 years?
Yeah, I think that is the concern. I mean, you know, Dexter this past year played deeper, and it was very intentional on the Cubs' part to play him deeper, and we saw the defensive metrics turn more positive for him as a result. But you're right. Throughout his career, he has not been known as a defensively above-average center fielder. I think, too, the fact that if you come to Busch Stadium, it's a bigger center field than you get at Wrigley Field. I think that goes into the equation. So I think for the Cardinals, it's going to be really, what is the priority? Do you want a capable center fielder who can also be a leadoff guy? If so, Dexter Fowler is a really good fit. Matt Carpenter then can slide down into a run production spot. If you, however, are very invested in getting a defensively above average center fielder, I think perhaps there's some options on the trade market that might fit this club a little bit better.
Ironically, when you look at Fowler and Hayward a year ago, Fowler was the better player.
Yeah.
They miss out on Hayward. Maybe they get a better player in the long run and for a shorter term. We've also heard talk of Justin Turner, and it sounded like the Dodgers really want to keep Justin Turner, which to me makes it hard to believe the Cardinals would be able to go get him when you think about budgets and what the Dodgers could spend versus the Cardinals. Plus, there's not a definite need there, right, as far as the Cardinals go?
Yeah, I mean, you look right now at third base, the Cardinals have Johnny Peralta coming back. They have Jed Jerko, who has actually led this team in home runs last year, coming back. And both of those guys kind of profile as fitting at third base. So they do have options. I think Justin Turner is a wild card for this reason, though, and that's the Cardinals, in losing Matt Holliday and in losing Brandon Moss, lost some thump from the middle of the lineup. Yeah. And I think to get a guy like Justin Turner that could be a middle-of-the-order hitter right away, kind of that feared hitter that Matt Holliday was for so many years, I think that could be a boost offensively. You also look, again, this is a team that last year lagged defensively in many ways. You get Justin Turner, he is a defensive upgrade over both Johnny Peralta and Jed Jerko. I think he makes it a little bit better for Aledmys Diaz on the left side of the infield. So again, I mean, you mentioned if they're competing against the Dodgers and who knows who else, the money might end up being a little out of the Cardinals' comfort zone. They do have the money to spend. They're just very judicious in how they dole it out, and we've seen that in their spending in recent years.
Matt Holliday is heading to New York to play for the Yankees, and it was it was a neat moment at the end of the season when he kind of said goodbye to Cardinals fans, and the way they treated it I thought was done really well. How much is this team going to miss Matt Holliday? Not necessarily on the field, but in the clubhouse.
Yeah, they're going to miss him immensely, perhaps more than they realize. And you know, the last 2 years of Matt Holliday's career, he's had trouble both staying on the field and then producing to the level we were used to seeing. But I think the one thing that was very unique on the field about Matt Holliday these last 7+ years is that he lived up to the contract he signed. And how rare is it that we talk about at the end of a 7-year, $120 million contract that a player actually exceeded that value? So, you know, it was a win-win situation. You look at what Matt Holliday has done in the community of St. Louis. I don't think it's talked about enough, the impact that he has had, the hospital visits, the impact with the children in the community, and then within the clubhouse. I mean, he was one of the core leaders in this organization. So that's a hole, not just from a playing standpoint, that needs to be filled, but it's one of the reasons why the Cardinals the last couple years have tried to groom kind of a new group of leaders for when Matt Holliday leaves, as he now has, and then Adam Wainwright and Yadi Molina behind him, that they have another generation to kind of take on that Cardinal way.
You mentioned the Cards making their moves early, and Brett Cecil was an early move. 4 years for a reliever, a little surprising, but he's a guy that can be dominant. And then they trade away Jaime Garcia, which I think when they re-upped or took Jaime Garcia in for another year, the plan all along seems like it was to trade him, to lock him in so that they could trade him. It works out. They didn't get top-end prospects, but it seems like you get depth in your minor league system for a guy that's breaking down maybe a little bit.
Yeah, they got something.
Yes.
And that was really the key for the Cardinals. I mean, with the option, I think there were a lot of fans that wondered, why in the world would the Cardinals pick up an option on a guy who struggled? I mean, he had 30 starts last year, only 10 of those quality starts. I mean, very poor numbers. The fact that the free agent market is so thin in starting pitching this year, the Cardinals knew they had an asset, and they were able to flip that, as you mentioned, for three minor leaguers. You know, John Gant might be a guy that right away can help out in the bullpen or certainly allow for some starting pitching depth for the Cardinals. So it made a lot of sense. The Cardinals felt that if they had an asset, let's try to flip it for what we can. I think now moving forward, though, that he's not in the mix, the Cardinals will be very hesitant to deal any more starting pitching. They know the importance of having that depth. They've seen it a year ago with Lance Lynn going out, in the past with Adam Wainwright going down with injuries. So they want to have those 6 or 7 starters, which they have right now. And again, in a market very thin with starting pitching, perhaps a little bit rare that they have so many.
They have all those arms. It'll be interesting to see what they all end up doing. Lance Lynn will be back. That's good to see. But Michael Wacha's a guy that you hear about. Maybe he becomes a bullpen guy. Trevor Rosenthal's been the closer, but he lost that job last year. How do you see it kind of shaking out with these still fairly young arms, especially Wacha, not maybe fitting the role that we anticipated a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I think Wacha is a very interesting case, and he went home this winter with a different workout regimen to really try to strengthen his shoulder. We know that he's now had 2 shoulder injuries, the same injury recurring twice in 3 years, and that's a long-term concern for the Cardinals, and they're not sure if this is a guy that down the road can throw 200 innings in a season. So he'll have an opportunity right now to compete for a rotation spot if he doesn't win that, especially as we've seen the bullpen evolution that we did, particularly in the postseason. The Cardinals look at Michael Wacha as perhaps that bridge guy that could be very valuable, maybe used in shorter stints. Trevor Rosenthal, an interesting case in that the Cardinals are going to stretch him out, not necessarily to make him a starter per se, but to maybe allow for a little bit, again, more flexibility in that bullpen. So 2 guys coming off disappointing years who went home with motivation to get better. And as you mentioned, still very young. I think we forget how young they were because they came up so early and had that success. But guys that the Cardinals still believe are part of their future.
Maybe the key to this team is how guys bounce back, right? Because there's not a lot of areas where you can drastically improve this team. They missed the playoffs for the first time in a long time, and that's not something this team expects to do. And I know the goal in 2017 is to get back there. So it's a matter of guys already on this roster playing better than they did, right?
Yeah, it is. And I think also improving the defense will in turn improve your starting pitching. I mean, that was, I think, really the surprise to a lot of us this year, was how poor the pitching results were from a group that a year before has historically good ERA. So I think if you improve the defense, you're improving your pitching. As you mentioned, some of these younger players taking step forwards, and even some of the older players even just performing maybe to their career averages that they didn't a year ago. And staying healthy. I mean, that was an issue for this team this year, staying healthy and not having the depth behind it. If they can stay healthier, it's a big gap, 17 and a half games that they finished behind the Cubs to close. But as we've seen, you don't always have to win your division. If you can get into October, you can still do special things.
This has been MLB.com Extras, our Cardinals Winter Meetings Edition. For Jennifer Langosh, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.